We're discussing cybersecurity and protecting small businesses from these crippling digital attacks on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Fuel pipeline operator Colonial Pipeline, one of the nation's largest pipeline operators, as we've been watching in the news, a critical artery to the East Coast, was hit by hackers Friday, still working to restore service. News outlets are reporting fuel shortages spreading along the East Coast and the South as panic buying sets in, drivers topping off their tanks. Do you own a small business? What is your cybersecurity system like? Has your business been hacked or compromised? How often are you hit up by phishing attacks? 800-642-1234. Brian Dennis is director of the Cybersecurity Center for Business at UW-Whitewater. Brian, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. So our eyes are on this Colonial Pipeline hack, of course, and these ransomware attacks encrypting your data, your systems, rendering your systems useless without decryption. Explain how these ransomware attacks work and, you know, what the key, you know, what the key unlocks.
Absolutely. And so ransomware attacks, this is an issue and a problem we've been seeing over the last several years, and it's only growing. The key concept behind it is that it's very simple. And so a ransomware attack happens because someone clicks a link. And so you might get an email in your office that looks like it's coming from potentially someone else that you're working with. And there's an attachment and you want to open that attachment to see what the email is about. The next thing you know, you start seeing a system shut down and a message pops up on your screen saying, your data has been encrypted. Please follow these directions to unencrypt the data. Most of the time, that includes a ransom that is required to be paid. Ransomware attacks, a lot of people are looking at it as an opportunity to make very quick money. And so we can download ransomware kits. We can send them out to hundreds of thousands of people. If we have a hit percentage of about 2 to 3%, we can fill a bank account by the end of the day with over $100,000 very quickly.
Wow. Why do hackers ask for ransom in the form of cryptocurrency?
So cryptocurrency is a growing opportunity for funding because it's not as easily traceable. And so there are some cryptocurrencies that are working to get past that. So Bitcoin is working to get past that concept. But there are other cryptos out there that really base their identity on being this very secret opportunity to move money. And so when we have cryptocurrencies that exist like that, and there's hundreds of crypto coins out there, it is an easy way to do it. And so one of the problems as well is when we see these ransomware attacks, a lot of folks have never even been in the crypto market and they don't necessarily know how to begin. And so working to get people this knowledge base to understand what's happening in this field needs to be an issue that we take up for all of our businesses.
What happens if a business can't afford the ransom? You know, might that force them out of business?
Absolutely. It's a staggering statistic. What we know is 60% of businesses that are hit within 6 months will go out of business. You know, that number is massive. And a lot of people just don't realize how often it's happening everywhere around us. A cyber attack is one of those attacks right now that, you know, if your business is robbed at gunpoint, business owners will talk about that. They will say, you know, this was a terrifying crime and it really affected me. But we're just not talking about cyber attacks, and we really should be. This is one of those areas that as a nation, we need to start saying that this is happening all around us. And we need to look at it for what it is. It's a crime. And what can we do to stop it? But more importantly, what can we do ourselves to make ourselves safer?
We're talking with Brian Dennis, who directs the Cybersecurity Center for Business at UW-Whitewater. We're discussing ransomware attacks and the future of cyber defense in business and industry. With your insights, do you own a small business? What is your cybersecurity approach? How is your has your business been hacked or compromised with a digital attack? What happened? 800-642-1234. Brett is joining us from Fitchburg. Hi, Brett. What is your take?
Well, I get scammers all the time sending me emails, text messages, phone calls, and you know it will be these kids asking for money for the Democratic Party. And when I look into it, it turns out really they're just trying to support, you know, pro-war politicians. They're funded by bankers.
Okay, so what happens then, Brian Dennis, when these attacks happen, when these phishing schemes happen?
So phishing is something that it's just on the rise because they're getting really good at it, to be honest. And so we're seeing phishing attacks that look like they're coming from legitimate sources. In fact, just earlier this week, I got one from Microsoft that said my Microsoft Outlook needed to be updated and I needed to enter my credentials to do so. That was just a very well-organized phishing attack. And so what they were hoping was that I would enter my credentials and right there they would have my information, have the opportunity to potentially get inside of my system. And so when people are, this is really where it comes to training. We've got to begin realizing what we can do to better understand when emails come in, how to verify. You know, we have to build a zero trust concept. If we see an email coming in from a colleague, we don't automatically respond to it. We do a little bit of investigation first. Here at the university, I've seen emails that have come in from people claiming to be a dean or people claiming to be other members of the campus faculty. And it quickly shows that they are not. This is a phishing attack and they're trying to get information. And so it really comes down to us being a little bit more cognizant and that trust but verify concept around emails these days.
Okay, so if you have a staff member or your staff clicks through on a ransomware infection, how should the company respond? What would the consequences be?
So this is one of those areas that companies really need to start thinking about, specifically how they respond and recover. Those are really two different issues. And so how you respond, we're talking about in the minutes and the hours following a ransomware attack. And so what is your plan of action? Have you ever thought about this actually happening to you? A lot of small business owners believe that it's not going to be a big problem because I don't carry that much data. But if you can't open your email, if you can't open your bank accounts, if you can't get into any systems, you're going to have major problems and it is going to affect your business. And so how do you respond in those hours? And then secondly, how do you recover from this? This is an attack. This is an event, just like a flood or a tornado or a hurricane might be an event. This is an event that's potentially going to shut you down for days. Will you be able to come back from this? And what is your plan to do so? Do you have an insurance policy that potentially could cover this? Do you have an idea of how you're going to bring things back once you've been offline for potentially 3 to 4 days at a time or even weeks?
Do you find now that normally businesses do carry cybersecurity insurance?
We're seeing a lot more insurance being active in the cybersecurity world right now. And that's one of those areas that we're really encouraging business owners to take a look at great insurance policies that exist because it gives them this option to potentially get help in the recovery aspect of rebuilding their business after an attack. And so we also see a lot of, you know, in Wisconsin, we've got these great insurance companies that we've been working with, like Acuity out of Sheboygan, who has helped us with our cyber defense range. You know, and they have policies that they're building specifically and creating as this grows as an issue. And so, yeah, we're seeing a lot more cybersecurity insurance coming into the marketplace.
My guess is that this insurance would be an evolving state because, you know, cyber attacks, they just continue to evolve.
Exactly. You know, yesterday's attack is not today's attack and tomorrow's attack will not be what we saw. So everyone is new.
Who is it? Who's perpetrating these cyber attacks? You know, it's not just, you know, you think of the loner people in the parents' basement, but,
right.
You know, where are these attacks coming from?
So, you know, that is the typical idea. So somebody, you know, it's just a kid up to shenanigans in his basement who's just, working to have some fun on hacking. That's not the reality. The reality is that cybercrime is a major business. It has now become the number one criminal syndicate in the world. It is an opportunity not just for criminals to make money, but for entire nations to make money. We've seen entire nations across the planet who have really boosted their GDP by investing in cyber criminals. And so when, you know, the idea of a kid in his mom's basement being the hacker, which is still a problem, you know, now we're seeing really entire companies that are being run to establish cybercrime footholds. Additionally, a lot of people think that cyber criminals, you know, they have this idea of who they are, but in reality, they look just like us. You know, the average cyber criminal is potentially your next door neighbor. It really could be anyone who has the opportunity to get online, and it's not that hard to learn. And so that's one of the fields that we're having to really focus on is what can we do to better educate people to understand that it's not hard to learn because people are easily falling for issues. And so if we can stop that from the get-go, we can make things better.
Yeah, we're going to explore education here in a moment with UW-Whitewater cybersecurity expert Brian Dennis. He's with us as we look at cyber defense, how businesses can work to shore up their digital security. Do you work in the cybersecurity industry? What are the major challenges you face in your field? Are you a cybersecurity student? Why did you pursue this career path? What do you see? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Brian Dennis on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show as we look closer at business cybersecurity. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. President Biden is expected to strengthen cyber defenses with a forthcoming executive order reported on by the New York Times. It's expected to include digital safety standards for federal agencies and contractors. He's also nominated two people to join his administration in the area of cybersecurity. Requires Senate confirmations there. What is your company doing to safeguard your networks and sensitive data? Does management treat cybersecurity with high importance, or can more be done? 800-642-1234. Brian Dennis is a cybersecurity industry expert at UW-Whitewater, and he's with us for the hour. Brian, what do you see out of the Biden administration? There's talk of this new executive order for cyber defense. What might the government do on this front?
So prior to the Biden inauguration, they really started talking about their concepts and ideas of what they were going to start working on cyber. And specifically what they're thinking about is building a zero trust concept. And so, you know, when we have a network, if someone is in the network, if they have been able to successfully get into the network, they are a trusted source in that network. And what the Biden administration wants to do, and what a lot of organizations, not just governments, but businesses and industry as well want to do, is to create a network that basically has zero trust, meaning that even if someone is within the system, we're going to take a more qualified look at that. And so when we start thinking about specifically our supply chain, so right now, one of the programs that we're working with is with the Department of Defense to shore up our supply chain, our Department of Defense supply chain. We're seeing that what we used to do was have an opportunity for, if there was a cyber event, companies afterwards would tell us about it and how they reacted and responded to it. What we need to do is create some type of certification. And so we're actually creating a third-party certification so we can ensure that before the government does business with these companies, that they are cyber safe. And that's what the Biden administration really wants to do, is to create a network of government and business and industry working together to make sure that we're all being as safe as we possibly can. And that's going to take investment. You know, when we look at cybersecurity, we really need to begin thinking about our cyber infrastructure as a critical infrastructure to the United States. It's no more prevalent now than it is with the dark side hack and on the Colonial Pipeline. This is a major issue, and it affected an industry, but it's going to affect the rest of the country. I actually spoke to my sister who lives in Richmond, Virginia, and she told me that this morning gas stations in Richmond are out of gas. And people are piling up in line and trying to buy gas. And this is a direct result of this attack and panic buying ensuing afterwards. And as a nation, what we need to remember is to remain calm. Colonial is going to work through this. The government is going to help. But these types of attacks can obviously start a panic very quickly. And so that's what the Biden administration wants to do, is to build a level of trust within the system that, you know, we believe that the system will be safe enough for us to move.
Well, businesses work with so many third-party vendors. And I'm thinking of the Target breach back in, you know, like 2014, the hackers got through, I think, in the HVAC vendor.
That is my favorite attack to talk about, because when I talk about it, I refer to it and everyone looks at me funny. I say, everyone has heard of the Fazio Mechanical hack, right? It was a company called Fazio Mechanical out of Scranton, Pennsylvania. And unfortunately, their systems were breached, and a technician went to a Target store to work on an HVAC system, and that led them into their POS system. And it really did a lot of damage to Target. You know, Target has done a good job at getting back to their pre-attack selves, but it took them a long time to do that. And they're still having issues. as well as people lost faith in a business when that happens. And that's another area that people, you know, this was an attack, but they lost faith in spending dollars there.
Brian Dennis with us, director of the Cybersecurity Center for Business at UW-Whitewater. He's telling us about the cybersecurity industry, how businesses can protect themselves from digital attacks, and taking your questions about cybersecurity at 800-642-1234. Stu is joining us from Elmwood. Hi, Stu.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What would you like to add?
Well, first of all, I want to reinforce everything he said about zero trust. I got hit 6 times in the last 2 years. Two of them were all of my takeovers were phishing attempts where they said they were going to take over if I didn't pay X amount in Bitcoin to people. Those were just phishing, so I dodged those. But about 2 months ago, someplace, what is happening is that your email is harvested, sold on the black market, and then people buy 1,000 emails in Romania or wherever the cyber criminal is located, and then they start working those email addresses to see how stupid you will be in terms of giving them more information, like a cell phone number or a Twitter address or some other way that can cross-reference that information and find out. Plus, whatever your profile is on Google, it's going to give them a ton of information.
Stu, thank you. Brian, does Stu bring up some important vulnerabilities?
Absolutely. You know, our data, and I don't like this concept because I hear it too often, that data is the new oil. But, you know, our data is valuable and we have to remember that. And so we are giving and just giving away our data these days. And we need to think more sophisticatedly when we start thinking about who I'm giving my data to. So, you know, there's a lot of social media posts out there where it just drives me crazy. Where a random post is asking people to potentially, you know, show us a picture of your anniversary and what date you got married on. And then come to find out the anniversary dates are one of the most common PIN numbers for people, you know? And so it's just, there's so much information that we just actively and happily give away and don't think about it. And we need to really start, you know, taking a look at what we're doing. Additionally, like Stu said, you know, there are so many pieces of information that are floating out there that we have no idea exists. And so, you know, what can we do to start culling our information and keeping it as close to the vest as we possibly can, especially for small businesses?
And so it sounds like hackers can piece it all together, these little pieces out there to really make an attack.
Absolutely. I can build an entire profile of someone just from information that I can pull off the internet. And then I can use that profile to reach out to them and gain their trust. And that trust will allow me to attack them very quickly, very easily.
Explain what you're doing at the Cybersecurity Center for Business and the educational component here.
So we're really focused on being a comprehensive center for cybersecurity education and opportunities. We're working in workforce development opportunities with the Department of Labor program. We have a Department of Defense program where we're working with Fincantieri Marinette Marine and Oshkosh Corporation to help keep their supply chain safe. We're also going to be opening up an opportunity for training with an organization we're excited about. We'll be able to name this in a couple of weeks, where we're going to have cybersecurity certifications that we're going to begin building training for. And then our most exciting piece is we've got a state-of-the-art cyber defense range. And so think of this like an infectious laboratory, you know, an infectious disease laboratory where, you know, people have never seen in real life a ransomware attack. But now they can. They can see it. They can get hit with it. They can test it. They can see how they'll respond and see and figure out how they're going to recover, and they can do it without it hurting their system. And so because of our partnerships that we've been able to build, we can offer these amazing opportunities to folks.
Okay, so they can kind of go in this lab in a controlled environment and really see how a ransomware attack unfolds on a system?
Absolutely. And so with our partners at Acuity Insurance, we have the Acuity Cyber Defense Range here on campus, but it's also a virtual range. And so somebody can actually use the range from just about anywhere. And so we can work with people to give them these types of attacks. And the catalog we have of this thing is amazing. And so we can start with users who are novices, somebody who might not know that much about cybersecurity, all the way up to the cybersecurity experts who are really interested in learning more about what they can do to improve their game.
We have UW-Whitewater's Brian Dennis explaining all the layers of cyber defense at home, at work, in public and private sector, in education. Brian leads the Cybersecurity Center for Business, as we've been talking about. Have you ever been hacked and had to regain access to your accounts? What was that experience like to get the decryption key? What did you learn? What did you go through? Be part of this 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up on cybersecurity after a news update on the Ideas Network. We're discussing cyber crimes, cybersecurity here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In the aftermath of the Colonial Pipeline hack that infiltrated servers, encrypted its data, attention is on these ransomware attacks that demand the victim pay a ransom, usually in cryptocurrency, to restore their data. And according to a report published last month by the Ransomware Task Force, ransomware victims, they've paid out nearly $350 million in cryptocurrency last year. Do you think your systems are well protected by digital threats? Do you use a password generator or an app that stores all your passwords? Has your system been compromised by a phishing scheme? Join in, 800-642-1234. We have Cybersecurity Center for Business Director Brian Dennis of UW-Whitewater, who's with us for the hour. Brian, what's the job outlook like in the cybersecurity field? What are you seeing out there?
Well, for anyone listening right now, if you have kids who are thinking about their future, tell them it's in cyber. So, you know, there are so many jobs right now in cybersecurity, and the problem is we can't fill them. In Wisconsin today, we have about 5,000 open cybersecurity jobs that are sitting right now. We can't get them filled. And the reason is we just haven't done enough to get people up to that training. And so here at UW-Whitewater, one of the things that we're working on is we've built an apprenticeship program. And so we are focused on taking people, really green recruits who are interested in a job in cybersecurity, but don't really know how to get that door open. And we're offering them this opportunity. And so the apprentice program is a completely free opportunity for anyone who's interested in cybersecurity at any level. You can be a graduating high school senior, or you could be somebody in the middle of your career who would like a change. And what we're doing is we're giving them basically a boot camp into introductory cyber, and we're placing them with an employer to give them the opportunity to begin learning. Right now in cybersecurity, the salaries are pretty great. You know, we're seeing an average salary of around $75,000 a year, up to $125,000 for some folks who are in the higher levels. Additionally, the opportunities in cyber nationwide are only going to increase. We will probably double the amount of needed cybersecurity folks within the next 2 years, and that's just going to continue. So here at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, we're focused on educating our new cyber employees. We have a master's program in cybersecurity that is up and running, and we're building a bachelor's program to really begin focusing and turning Wisconsin into the state that people think about when you think of cybersecurity in the United States.
So for these employers that you're working with through the apprenticeship program, are these employers based here in Wisconsin? Are they anywhere and everywhere? Or, you know, where are they based?
We are focused on Wisconsin. So okay. This program is for Wisconsin employers. What we want to do is help our Wisconsin employers, both big and small, understand that having somebody in place to really be the cybersecurity kind of evangelist, somebody who really focuses on what we can do to increase our cyber hygiene, what we can do to make ourselves safer. That's what we're trying to do. And in my opinion, if you're, you know, building the highest tech machinery out there for the Department of Defense, or if you're a coffee shop, you know, on a main street somewhere in rural Wisconsin, everyone needs to think about cybersecurity and keeping themselves safe, because we're all a part of the chain.
What is good cyber hygiene? How would you define it?
This is one of those areas that is really growing and creating a concept of hygiene. And, you know, it's just thinking about our digital footprint. How often are we changing our passwords? Am I sharing passwords with anyone? Am I having the same password for multiple accounts? And so, you know, have we put something in place like a password logger so we can actually have one, you know, space where we keep all of our passwords, but they're all different, like a LastPass or KeyPass. Are we using two-factor authentication? And so two-factor authentication, a lot of people think about it, like you try to log into a website, you might get a text message. But two-factor authentication is growing in use, and that's something that we can start really implementing. And then the other simple things, if I'm at my desk and I walk away from my computer, am I locking my computer down? You know, people would be amazed at the amount of cyber attacks that begin physically with somebody just walking by a system, seeing it open, and potentially taking advantage of it.
What do you advise businesses on retaining cybersecurity staff in-house, like in your IT department, versus outsourcing this work of information security? Because you might have a small business who says, we can't afford to do this. We can't afford to have a staff of cybersecurity experts. What do you say?
So that's good. That's one of the big issues that we're dealing with right now. So, you know, we see companies across the globe who are staffing American cybersecurity opportunities. And so there's a company out of India, actually, that staffs a ton of cybersecurity experts in the United States. But we've got to begin doing some homegrown cybersecurity training. And so for that small business that might say, you know, I can't afford to have a full-time cybersecurity person, that's right. I understand that, because you probably can't have somebody who's sitting on salary at $75,000 a year and really just focusing on your cyber. But either you as the business owner can invest a little bit of time in education, or you can decide to pick somebody on your staff to do so. The training that we're building here, we're making it very user-friendly. We really want our training to be understood. You know, there's a common misconception about cybersecurity folks that we're kind of grumpy and stodgy and not necessarily the easiest to work with. And I'm working very hard to get us to overcome that misconception. What I want to do with cybersecurity and what the Cybersecurity Center for Business wants to do is really transform the workforce. And so when we look at the workforce today, it's over 90% white male. And so what we're trying to do here is to encourage women to participate in cybersecurity. We want to encourage underrepresented populations to participate and really begin building this workforce that is more, that looks more like us. And so we're working with these organizations, like within in Milwaukee, we're working with a Hispanic collaborative to build opportunities for the Latinx community, because our Latinx community is not represented in cybersecurity and they really need to be. And so we've got to start making everybody think about it, and that way we'll be safer. And additionally, we've got to start thinking young. And so when we're talking about cybersecurity education now, I'm looking into opportunities to begin putting cybersecurity education into sixth grade. I want to start thinking about what can we do to make it available to younger and younger generations. So not that they only understand how can I be safe when I start logging into digital platforms. Additionally, you know, I want to hear a kid say, when I grow up, I want to be a cybersecurity expert. And so, that, you know, that's what we're really focused on, is making this available to everyone.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Brian Dennis, who leads the Cybersecurity Center for Business at UW-Whitewater. He's explaining about cyber defense, the career growth in this field, the growing career opportunities. You can join in. What are you doing to safeguard your computers and communications at your job? Does your management treat cybersecurity with the utmost importance, or can more be done? Join in at 800-642-1234. Brian, you mentioned a master's degree program in this area. I'm wondering, what does continuing education look like in cybersecurity? Because it seems like a field that would be continually evolving.
It is. And so when I talk to people who are thinking and potentially going to look at an education in cybersecurity, what I let them know is, to do this, you're really committing to a lifetime of learning, which I think is a good thing. It helps keep you sharp, and it really helps define your strategy and roles moving forward. You know, if you decide to come to UW-Whitewater or any of the amazing UW system schools, what you're going to find is you get this fantastic base education that gets you to the point of a bachelor's or a master's degree. But you have to commit to continue learning. And so we have stacking credentials is one thing that we're seeing a lot happening out there, where people might potentially look at a cybersecurity credential that they can get like a CompTIA Security Plus certification, and then potentially add a A Plus. There's all these opportunities for additional training. The trick is that can be very expensive. Mm. And so that's another area that we want to focus on at the university level, is what can we do to help offset a lot of those expenses to make it more available to people? Because when there's a great organization called the SANS Institute, and their training is second to none. It's great, but it is expensive. And so I can't afford $15,000 to send somebody for a week out to Maui to learn how to be a cybersecurity expert. I want to do it here. I want them to sit, you know, potentially either at UW-Whitewater or in their business in Wisconsin and learn very quickly and relatively inexpensively.
So let's say, role-playing here, Brian, I'm a business. I want to do a stress test on my systems to see if they hold up. I don't have access to like a cybersecurity range. What would a small business stress test entail?
So there's an entire world that's developing around this concept called penetration testing. And so we see penetration testing all over the place now. There's companies, you know, there's one based in Madison that's actually hired a couple of our UW-Whitewater students who's really focused on penetration testing of businesses. And so you can give them a call, and what they can do is take a look at your system and try to break in. And more often than not, in fact, I'm just going to say all the time, they're being successful at it. It's relatively easy for a penetration tester to get into most businesses. But as a small business, you want to know that. That's something you want to understand. Where am I vulnerable? What do I need to do to shore up my system? I could probably spend hours with you talking about stories that would make your head spin, where businesses were just so vulnerable and they had no idea.
Hmm. So vulnerable and had no idea. And yet these penetration tests you talk about can get through every time. Is there a level of security for small businesses that is good enough, air quotes there? Or do you have to continually strive to get to some level of security that you couldn't be cracked?
So I think as a nation, we're moving towards building a concept around that. And I think one of the first big volleys in that is out of the Department of Defense. And so the Department of Defense has created the Cybersecurity Maturity Model Certification. And that's a lot of words. We just call it CMMC. And CMMC is a concept built around five levels of cybersecurity, levels 1 through 5. The level 1 cybersecurity CMMC, it's very simple. It's 17 best practices to have good cyber hygiene. I believe that if we start taking this as a nation and looking at this, we are going to create a safer environment, a safer business ecosystem. I think just with those 17 basic practices, it is establishing cyber hygiene that every business should be running. I don't care if you're in the Department of Defense or if you're a small town restaurant, you should be running these 17 practices to keep safe. And then moving up those stages to levels 2, level 3, 4, 5, you know, what I see a lot of businesses do is just believe that they're not going to have an issue. And so they don't invest. The amount of small businesses that have even let their virus protection go out of date, it's amazing. And so there's a lot of things that we could be doing just to make ourselves safer. But we're just not paying attention to it. And
oh,
we need
like,
to start
like
thinking about it.
Postponing updates that, you know, you'll Absolutely. Get to tomorrow. Right.
Yes. You know, every morning they might open up their computer and that little box pops up in the right hand corner saying it's time to update, and they just close it. And that's happening all the time. And we need to really start thinking about patching our systems, keeping them up to date. Those companies are patching for a reason. And that's because that reason is a major threat and we need to get it done.
UW-Whitewater's Brian Dennis, cybersecurity expert with us. Has your business been hacked or networks infiltrated? What did hackers want? Did you tell customers about the data breach? What about the customers and their data? How did you learn of the attack? Still time to discuss. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Brian Dennis here on the Ideas Network.
If
It's the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're discussing cybersecurity in light of the Colonial Pipeline ransomware attack last week, shutting down that massive pipeline, causing disruptions at the pump in the southeastern part of the country. And the Department of Transportation responded Sunday, issuing an emergency declaration to help alleviate disruptions as Colonial tries to get back online. Brian Dennis watches all this as head of the Cybersecurity Center for Business at UW-Whitewater. He's with us for 10 more minutes. Wayne is joining us from Port Washington. Hi, Wayne. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Say, I was listening and sounds fantastic. My son will be 14 in June, and I was wondering if the professor could give me some ideas on how I could steer him toward this, try and get him interested or see the possibilities. He likes computers, likes games, and any suggestions you have, I'd really appreciate.
Wayne,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so for students that age, this is really something that we're hoping that they can begin understanding that if they're into gaming, if they're into esports, there are huge opportunities within that realm in cybersecurity. And so here at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, we're actually building an esports program so we can help students kind of hone in on that. And through that learning, they will begin becoming cybersecurity experts as well because they want to keep those systems safe. And so when this 14-year-old, when he's looking at what schools he wants to really think about, you know, what schools offer the types of opportunities that cybersecurity experts want to have when they're hiring. You know, one of the things that we are super proud of is our cyber range, and we're going to give access to that to students on that range. And this is not something that happens normally. There are a few ranges across the country. There's one at University of Texas San Antonio. There's one at Purdue University, and these ranges have been bought out. And so the range at Purdue, there's a company out of India called Infosys that is pretty much bought 95% of the time. And so students don't really get access to it. Here at UW-Whitewater, we have built our range to educate, which is a new concept. We have built this range so students can access it. So our small businesses and our medium-sized employers throughout the state can access it because we want everyone to have this opportunity to get this necessary training to help us build a really robust cybersecurity economy here in the state.
You mentioned esports, electronic sports, and there is so much peer cooperation in esports. I'm wondering what communication means to this industry.
It means a lot. And so, you know, when I'm talking to people who are interested in cybersecurity as a career, you know, we're not just talking about the technicians who are really going to be diving into systems to potentially find out what happened. You know, when I talk to organizations, to great big companies who are hiring in cybersecurity, they're looking for experts in communication, experts in marketing, experts in all different fields who also have a very strong background in cybersecurity. And so it gives you a little bit more of a push on your resume when you can say that you're good in both fields. One of the things that I'm super excited about here on campus is we're working with the Whitewater Advertising Association, which is a group of students who are really focused on advertising as a career. But in working with us, they've been learning a ton about cybersecurity. Hmm. And so when they graduate, they're going to have this opportunity to say, not only can I help you write your ad copy, but I can help you write your ad copy and I understand the basics of cybersecurity where I can keep you safe at the same time.
So really cross-disciplinary there. Let's go to
Absolutely.
Rich now in Middleton. Hi, Rich.
Hi there. So I was just wondering, if you go through all this education and training for hypersecurity, what happens if that person decides to turn to the dark side?
So becoming a hacker themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that is definitely, you know, a concern. But what we see is that when people actually go through the opportunities for cyber education, you know, you're going to have a decent salary, you're going to make a decent living, and you're not going to live under that constant fear and threat of being found out. You know, and so unless you're willing to pack up and move to Estonia, where they're going to protect you as a government, you know, as a cyber criminal here in the United States, they're coming after you. The FBI is working very hard to build a program to really focus in on taking down American-based cyber groups. And so what we can do is build the concept of ethical hacking. Ethical hacking is really the majority of what hacking is today. And so the penetration testers that I was talking about earlier, these guys, they're really hackers. That's what they do. They're just ethical hackers who put on that white hat, as we call it, and really get into systems to help people understand what's going on. And so, yes, that possibility of somebody, taking the education that we're offering them and potentially using it for nefarious acts, that definitely exists. But we believe that most of the people will see this as an opportunity to build a great life for themselves and their families and get a good start in a field that is just going to continue to grow.
Rhoda is joining us from Howley. Hi, Rhoda.
Yes.
Yeah, hi. Go ahead.
Hi. Okay. I knew a 15-year-old boy, and he was an expert computer, okay? Every single morning, he checked his computer, and if one letter was out of place or changed, he would get on his computer, and he would command his computer to trace the source of where that letter came from, and then he would command his computer to tell their computer to change certain letters on their system. So, and he would wait and follow it through. Hmm. And what would happen is they weren't there to check their computers or anything. He said for like 2 hours, and then they came in and their whole system was changed and messed up, and they were shutting every single thing down. And I asked him, I said, would that be permanent? And he said, it would take them probably 2.5-3 days to reprogram everything.
Rhoda, thank you. Brian, what do you hear there in Rhoda's story?
What I hear there is a kid that we want. And so, tell that young man to start thinking about UW-Whitewater and come and find out what he can do to become one of the good guys. And so it sounds to me like he is already on his way. But that's definitely somebody that we want. We want to show them that there is a path moving forward that they can really become, a certified expert in this field and enjoy a good career. Cybersecurity is a stressful career. We really want people to understand that as well. Attackers only have to be lucky once. A cybersecurity expert has to be lucky all the time. But it's a growing field where people understand that commonality. And so there's a really good camaraderie that we're building within this industry as well. And so that 15-year-old, I hope that he takes an opportunity to look at what education opportunities are out there, because I think UW-Whitewater would be a good place for him.
In the last few seconds we have with you, for rank and file employees, how much training and retraining and reminders do employees need on cybersecurity measures?
So we need to start thinking about cybersecurity training almost in the way that we had a WPA style workforce development after the Great Depression. We have got to retrain our entire American workforce to think about cybersecurity. We just haven't done enough. And so that's one of the things that employers really should begin focusing on, is looking for opportunities for training. So the Cybersecurity Center for Business here at UW-Whitewater is building opportunities for training, and so is everyone else. And start looking at what can you do to keep your business and your employees safe.
Brian, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate. I appreciate it.
Brian Dennis is director of the Cybersecurity Center for Business at UW-Whitewater. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.